In the path of evolution and in the part that one has to play in all of this, and how all of this plays also the part in one's own life. It sounds very raggedy and confusing, but it is like going into a mine and finding the diamonds. They are not cut, they are not sparkling. They have to be cleaned of the attached dorsus. The diamond in the rough doesn't look necessarily very attractive and beautiful as at a later stage when cut and polish have taken place. And the cutting and the polishing is on a human individual basis, a process that seems to grind away constantly on one's strength, energy, mental powers, emotional powers, and one's endurance. And a day without reflection can be easily a lost day, because details that can make a deciding factor by contributing to greater clarity are easily lost in the events that happen. And yet, the goodwill to do all this and be all this and achieve all this, the goodwill is an important part, but like good intention, it's not enough. There has to be some achievement. Without being an overachiever and missing the parts that I call the wisdom in that insecurity. If the wisdom and insecurity is lost, not much is gained. And insecurity is left and breeds confusion, disappointment, depression, and robs the energy for a new approach, a new advancement to take part in that. And by that is meant the process, because the process, the state of liberation, is not one gets there and it's done. State of liberation is an ongoing process, a refinement of which little can be said, because language has no means to express that fully. This is why also all great religious teachers like Jesus, Buddha, had to resort eventually to allegorical stories. And stories of any kind that can illustrate, that can only illustrate what can only be read between the lines, or what can be heard between the words. Words are also only symbols. And between two words, without breath, the word is not pronounced. So the focus has to be as well on the breath. That is easier understood if one realizes voice emotions. When breath is not even, not balanced, that is when we are sad, we stop, breath is abrupt, but it's also abrupt when we have purling, when we purl into a heavy, happy laughter. So that whenever breath is not an even flow, the one or the other of the opposite is more dominant. The practice in the past has of course also different incidences that will occur. One grabs one thing to tackle it and loses sight of another. And before the skill is achieved, it's instead of using a fine scalpel knife, one uses the axe. It takes time to learn, and as when one thing is learned, the next already happens, and not to lose that which has been learned is another very important factor. Because it seemed to be so many things that one has to know all at once. Not any much different than modern life, where we feel that so much information input that we can keep track anymore. And we need to specialize. But the moment we specialize, we already have lost the input from other information that may not be relevant at the moment, but will be very relevant at some later date. And we haven't gotten them. So the path of liberation is a rather extremely difficult one. In the beginning, it may even appear it can never be done. But again, we have to look at ordinary life and take always ordinary life as a point of reference from which we then move on, instead of making a jump into some phrases that that made to be more interesting and acceptable for the academical mind, but have very little practical value. When one learns to drive a car, particularly gear shift, there's so many things that one has to pay attention to. The handling of the car itself, the mechanical side, looking into the rear mirror, the watching of the street and the traffic. We are in that moment in many places at once, and eventually it becomes so easy and smooth that in the first three times that we try to tackle the problem of driving a car, seem to be impossible, and yet the impossible is achieved. There's many such incidences in life that we can remember. So if we do remember them, then we know that the many points of paying attention, of being focused in the processes of moving along the path of liberation can be achieved too. And at one time, awareness will finally expand where these things are not as chaotic as when we were the first day in the car learning to drive. That means we haven't even observed anybody doing it. Because by observation we can learn too, and many people, particularly young people who are very eager to learn to drive and achieve that independence, watch the licensed driver, what's done, and have a very good inkling of what needs to be done, and runs with much less anxiety than the one who has to do that for the first time and has never paid attention. Now that is a good point of reference to realize that we always can learn from others how something can be done skillfully and how we can avoid mistakes, and let there be no mistake that we couldn't learn that also on the path of liberation. How people have cut themselves off from the path of liberation by the attachment to a particular idea, desire, or need, and how others who take the axe if they cannot handle a scalpel. And rather make a dramatic cut than losing the ability to move forward towards that goal of liberation. Now, if we ask anybody what liberation means, it's a very nebulous concept for most people. And if we ask ourselves, we're talking about it, we read about it, what do we mean? Again, let's take just ordinary life. If I can refrain from having the last word, from backbiting, I have freed myself, liberated, in a sense, myself from those habits that interfere in my relationships and interactions with others. And if I can add to these two examples 50 others, I'm a very different person. If my my sense of discrimination has developed so finely, I cut out a lot of pain, agonies, disappointments that only sap again my energy. I can stroll to somebody who is drowning in the water a ring, a lifesaver, but if the person doesn't take it, then my agony that the other person is going in the water is going to drown and die and wasted one life. My agony about this cannot help that person. I can only use it as a strong reminder that I have to look for my lifesavers wherever I need them. And I have to look for what can happen if I don't grab that lifesaver and get myself out of that trouble that I got myself in by lack of discrimination, lack of strength to cut myself loose from attachments. So it becomes, it's an ongoing battle. It becomes a continuous process to increase awareness. And there is only fleeting moments where awareness is really there and not clouded by something that will approach us from the feeling side, from the traditional side, from the side of perceptions, of ideologies, of beliefs, from the side of opinions. Perhaps one of the toughest decisions is to make, if we have lived by certain principles, to uphold those principles, and should we? Should we sacrifice everything for what we consider one of the highest principles in our lives? Yes or no? If that is the highest principle, and if there's no perception that perhaps there is something beyond that principle that we hold so dear, then it's better to indeed to sacrifice everything towards it. But if there is another way to expand that principle into another area for the greater good of others, it's worth to reconsider. One can only come to some, and I like to say nebulous, resolutions by anticipation what could be and what might be, and that is what is nebulous. It may in the final turn out to be just the right thing, but it may also turn out not quite what has been anticipated. But even that process, that kind of mental emotional acrobatics, will strengthen one's flexibility and muscles to, for the next opportunity when another hurdle has to be taken. There seem to be no end. Some hurdles we cannot jump. Some hurdles we have to, almost by a kind of subtle breath, to move ourselves over hurdles that the senses cannot quite perceive, the eyes cannot see, and the ears cannot hear exactly. Mind always tries to find an answer, and the question is often, why is it so nebulous? Why can we never know at one time for sure? It's probably the same here, the failing to a natural happening. The child is born, goes to kindergarten, and then is told, well, in a year or so you will move to preschool. When the child is in preschool, it is told, well, you will move to on to junior school. And perhaps at that time the child will say, well, why haven't I been put here right away? Why do I have to go through kindergarten, preschool, junior school, high school, to university? Because it is not possible. Or at least there are no examples that this would be possible to go straight. All the senses have to be perfected, sharpened, developed to grow at a certain point to be truly useful, and the sense of discrimination particularly. And even great souls that may have come with all the trimmings of liberation or great insights have to go through that process simply to understand others. A doctor who has never been sick will always think that patients complain unnecessarily, because he doesn't know what pain is. So in order to understand others, some of that pain has to be experienced. Maybe not all of it, and for some people, maybe all of it. Nothing is exactly black or exactly white. Only in a closed-in situation, it is pitch black. But anywhere where there is day and night, and where there are seasons of growth, the light, the sun, is very weak in the morning and has its strength at noon. But so is the shadow. The shadow in a weak light is also weak. And in a strong light, that shadow can be very black. All these little comparisons and illustrations are only trying to tell something else that cannot be put into a different frame.